Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
He is Alex Dunlap. I am the Podfather. This is Content Kings, the first episode in a monthly series where Alex Dunlap, the founder and CEO of Roster Watch, sits down with Matt Kelly, the Podfather, the founder and CEO of Player Profiler and Fast Draft, and we talk fantasy football, and we talk about running fantasy football organizations, fantasy sports businesses. We dig into a bunch of things. We're going to be here for an hour. We're going to take questions from the chat. This is going to be a pure podcast. This is not a fantasy football podcast. It's not a sports podcast. This is just a podcast. Welcome, Alex.
Well, we've already gotten our first half truth already out there. Byron Lambert's actually Roster Watch's CEO. I'm the chief creative officer and co-founder. It's me, Byron Trashman, and our other business partner founded it. But I don't know how to run payroll, and so that makes Byron qualified to be the CEO of the company. So
you could have just rolled past that, and we could have texted Byron and be like, "Hey, Byron, by the way, we accidentally called Alex the CEO on the podcast. Forgive us." But no, you wanted to drag the show down. We had a nice trajectory that I started with the show. You saw I figured out what I wanted to say. I was like, I have the opening, I have the cold open, ready to go. Let's go. And now we're starting off the show with a technicality.
Because one of the themes that you said in the beginning is like the show is about it's about what it's like to be a CEO and what it's like to run the business. And I just kind of came right out and said, well, that isn't true. That isn't what it's going to be about.
Okay, you're the co-founder. Okay, you're the co-founder. Excuse me. Co-founder of Roster Watch. Excuse me. Yep. Excuse me. Yep. I just want to celebrate briefly Malik Nabers, a 15-target game, and he was injured landing on his head last night, doing what Malik Nabers does, which is to put it all on the line to try to save Daniel Jones and the Giants and to put this entire team on his back. And by putting the team on his back, he landed on his head. He looks like one of, if not the best, wide receiver in the sport. He overshadowed CeeDee Lamb in the game. It was just a beautiful thing. He's a beautiful man. If you have the Roster Watch cheat sheet, if you followed the advice of Player Profiler, you know, our subscribers, collective subscribers, all have Malik Nabers in almost every league. I know I do in almost every league. We talked about the Kings Classic, all these particular teams and structures where Theo and I, for example, have Malik Nabers. It's a beautiful thing. I just hope that this is not a serious concussion. We have a serious concussion with Tua Tagovailoa, which is basically going to is destroying the potential of Tyreek Hill and especially Jalen Waddle. So it's very tragic what's happened. Also, just his health and safety. Now we have Devontae Smith. So basically, we have two receivers because of concussions. You know, we have two receivers in Miami that have been neutered. We have a receiver in Philadelphia. It's looking like, because they were both DNP on Thursday, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith not practicing. So we're trending towards some kind of like Dallas Goedert show once again, which I'm here for. I love Dallas Goedert. Famously, you were there at the Senior Bowl when Dallas Goedert played for a snap. He was the talk of the Senior Bowl. Yeah, he played for that. He broke his hand.
I forgot what it was. It was something.
It was a broken arm, broken hand, something like that at the Senior Bowl. But everyone was loving, drooling over Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert's amazing, so I'm here for Dallas Goedert's season. This is great. Everyone that drafted him and immediately forgot they drafted him. Like, no one remembers even any teams they have Goddard. Like, oh, I have Goddard in that team. Yeah, it's like me. Like, oh, I forgot. Yeah, God, okay, good.
Can you believe that FanDuel had the foresight to get him up to 7,500 for this? They just said, you know what? Screw it. We don't think AJ Brown and Devontae are playing. We're not going to make this easy on guys. It's crazy, man.
Well, if you saw the Devontae Smith injury, he was down bad. So Devontae Smith down bad. I don't think he's going to play. Didn't practice, not going to play. So it's just going to be very interesting. We have a Jahan Dotson. What about Paris Campbell? Like, suddenly new life breathed into the Paris Campbell balloon. Like, the Paris Campbell truthers are just, they can have one more ride, one last job for Paris Campbell truthers, right?
I don't know if they're still out there, are they?
This week. He's going to be a thing this week. He's going to be a thing this week. So I was thinking about certain rosters in particular on our app Fast Draft. So we have this new fantasy gaming app Fast Draft, which we'll talk about more as the show goes along. And, you know, when you're scrolling through most of the top teams, there's not a lot of injuries, but there are a handful of teams near the top of the leaderboard that have Barkley and Cooper Kupp. And I saw one team with Breece Hall, Barkley, and Cooper Kupp. And it just got me thinking, because I actually ended up, because of the way that I structure and build my teams, ended up with a lot of Cooper Kupp. Had Cooper Kupp ahead of Puka Nacua. And was like, hey, wait, the alpha receiver is being drafted after the other receiver? So the beta receiver goes before the alpha receiver. Okay, I'll take the alpha receiver. Pretty easy. Pretty easy lock button. Cooper Kupp, third, sometimes fourth round. And now this injury, it's tilting because he would be in God mode right now. We would be so looking forward to starting him and having him win us weeks. And so to have this high ankle sprain is so tilting to me. This Cooper Kupp injury is so tilting. It's more tilting than the McCaffrey injury.
No, it's not. Not after this stuff.
Wait, what stuff? What stuff?
Well, he goes over to Germany and meets with some dude. And I thought he was just going over there to get the, just how did this turn out like this, Matt? So I thought that the deal was CMC goes off to Germany, like all these basketball players do. He gets whatever the stem cell injections are that aren't, are they not legal here? Like, I don't even know how that works, but they have to go over there.
There are some rules around stem cells that we have in the United States that other countries like Mexico, Germany do not have.
Okay, so apparently, and look, I'm like clearly not a doctor, but he goes to see this doctor. Let me just pull it up and see if I can just find the report. I mean, we can just type in McCaffrey on X. And it's like, apparently he's going to have to miss months.
We have a show sheet. You didn't prepare to have what you were going to talk about. Now you're searching online. You're trying to pull we pride ourselves on shows. Alex, we're going to be doing the show. We're broadcasting to the Roster Watch Twitter X. We're broadcasting to the Player Profiler Twitter X, our respective YouTube channels. We're even broadcasting to Twitch. There's someone somewhere on Twitch watching this. You need to be prepared.
Well, if they're used to hearing me on the Sirius XM show or listening on the Roster Watch channels, they'll be very used to me being completely unprepared. Like you have these Twitter docs. I mean, the original quote was that he went there and that after meeting with the German specialist, he's set to now miss months. And now you have these Twitter doctors, and I haven't heard from Pro Football Doc, but there are some of these other guys that are kind of second tier, not to say that they're guys that didn't work for NFL teams, but they seem like they know about injuries and stuff. And these dudes are saying, okay, you know, if he gets this done, it's going to be 4 to 6. I think it was Dr. Edwin. I don't know this guy. Something Edwin something or something.
Edwin Porras.
I don't know if that was him. It might have been something Chopra.
Oh, Deepak Chopra.
Maybe that was it.
Great guy. Yeah, he's a major contributor to Player Profiler. Yeah, he knows his stuff.
Well, so I mean, you could ask him if he comes on a show, but he was saying like four to six weeks, 4 to 6 weeks off, and then like 2 to 4 weeks to ramp up. And so now we're looking, but people are saying months, And that would be 10 weeks. So we're looking at what, 10 weeks is 2.5 months. So you start to think, I mean, I think we probably need to get better reporting on this, but people are going to start asking if they can drop Christian McCaffrey. And that's more tilting than Cooper Kupp.
It is. If you have a lot of McCaffrey, yes. If you fell for it, yeah, sure. If you're point chasing last year, yeah, sure. Yeah, if you're ignoring all of the trends, then sure. But like the 49ers ran so pure last year, it couldn't be replicated. He ran so pure with his health and his workload. This was the pay the piper season for Christian McCaffrey. It wasn't hidden at all. The injury happened in early August, and it was just, oh, minor. Oh, it's a minor calf injury. He'll be fine. It was the whopper of the whoppers of the offseason. But this is what you expect. I expect coaches to lie. That's my default assumption, is that everything they say is a lie. And if he hurts his calf in August, I'm not drafting him after that, period. Until I see him out there with pads on, practicing.
Yeah, but you have you have some of the guys that are the best kind of injury analysts, like the Dr. David Chows and stuff like this, talking about the risk of re-injury. And look, and like Cody was saying this summer, he was saying, I don't care what Pro Football Doc says. It's in the one kind of home league that I'm in with Cody, he took Bijan at one over McCaffrey, because he had a lot of conviction over it. But I'm like, dude,
Cody knows what he's talking about. Cody is a great combination of someone with common sense who also is smart.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter though was that. The risk, like they could show you, like the last, you know, over the course of the last 10 years, the re-injury risk for this level of calf strain was one of the least likely things to happen. What Cody's take was, and what I should have thought more about, was, dude, he had a calf injury at the end of last season. And if he had a calf injury at the end of last season, how much could this one have to do with it? And I'm just a little bit freaked out by it.
It's the 101, Alex.
Yeah.
This isn't a guy you're drafting in the fourth round. It's literally the most valuable bit of real estate in all of fantasy football. And if you can get a CeeDee Lamb there, or you can get a Breece Hall, a Bijan Robinson, do that. Do that. It's not worth the risk for a 29-year-old running back who's 200 pounds, who has one of the scariest injury track records and had one of the scariest workloads the year prior. That was all necessary. The workload was necessary. The incredible fortune of staying healthy the entire season. That was all necessary. The offensive line staying healthy throughout the quarterback staying upright, all the weapons intact, everything just hit perfect for the 49ers last year. So drafting Christian McCaffrey at the 101 was predictably disappointing. It's point chasing. Really, we're looking for this year's 101. Cody's trying to draft this year's 101, taking a shot on Bijan Robinson, taking a shot on Breece Hall, taking a shot on CeeDee Lamb. Some people had a prediction that this was the year Ja'Marr Chase would be the number one wide receiver in fantasy. I respect the hell out of those moves. I don't respect just taking the chalk move, the guy that did it last year, in spite of lots of red flags, just because that's safe. No one's going to criticize this pick.
Right, but just the usage, I mean, it's... But
Cody opens himself up to criticism. I respect the hell out of that. And in these situations, he is able to go back and full-throated say, told you so to those people.
Because that's your favorite part of the whole thing.
I love it. No, I love it. I love it. And you might say, oh, well, Cooper Kupp, you know, similar situation. He's, you know, very similar player, right? Lower body, a history of lower body injuries the last few years, similar age. Yeah, I know. But we weren't drafting Cooper Kupp thinking he would replicate his 2022 season, right? If you were drafting him last year or the year before at the 103, 104, right? If you were drafting him in the top five, based on what he did the year prior, based on the year he broke fantasy, then that is what I'm talking about. That's point chasing, right? Especially if the guy's already suffered some lower body injuries. Push him down into the third round. In the third round, then that's an incredible value that a guy has that kind of upside, Christian McCaffrey level upside at the wide receiver position. But this time in the third round, he was just a much better pick. It was a much better value. It was a much more sound pick. Cooper Kupp was the type of guy that I would have 4x the amount of Cooper Kupp in my portfolio than I would Christian McCaffrey. That's why it's more tilting for me personally.
No, I totally get it. I certainly have a ton more Kupp.
You have a ton more Kupp. You're just trying to empathize with, you know, fantasy gamer X. I get it, man. You're a man of the people.
Yeah, but here's the other thing too. It's like, Matt, you say, and I think when you reference ADP, like you play in so many leagues with Theo and stuff like that in FFPC where it's you're playing against sharper dudes. And not to say home leagues aren't sharp, but like my company, we're a company where it's like so much, like it's ridiculous how much of our customer base is just people who play in home leagues.
Yeah.
Who they'll just dabble in most of them don't even care about our DFS products and stuff. And do you know what I mean? But so it's like, for those leagues, you could, like in just your typical Yahoo 12-team league, a lot of these, you could get Cooper Kupp fourth round, Malik Nabers fifth round.
I know, because I did a video. I do this video series on TikTok called The Perfect Draft. And I go to Fantasy Pros and I go to ADP Calculator and I go to these sites and I couldn't believe it. Malik Nabers was at the 4-5 turn. I was like, wait, this is real. And then I did a little extra research. I asked around and they're like, oh yeah, no. In a lot of leagues, you know, in a traditional Yahoo fantasy football league, you can get Malik Nabers in the late fourth round, easy. And I was like, okay, well, that's how I'm going to lay out my perfect drafts. Most of my perfect drafts, they had Malik Nabers. It was like Malik Nabers, Malik Nabers, Malik Nabers, Malik Nabers, to the point that I ran out of analysis. I kept saying him so many times because it was 12 different videos, the 101, the 102, the 103, the 104. And it's like, no, every time Malik Nabers in the fourth round, please, for the love of God. But Cooper Kupp also, see Cooper Kupp also. And that Cooper Kupp, he would be putting up McCaffrey level numbers right now. Without Puka Nacua, what you'd be getting from Cooper Kupp, this would be league winning stuff. If you're paying full freight, the iron price for Christian McCaffrey, and he gives you the 24 fantasy points, well, that's what you paid for. With Cooper Kupp, he would have been giving you 24 fantasy points out of the fourth round. It was all set up to be league-winning upside, and his injury was not an injury you could predict. A high ankle sprain is not predictable because that's almost always a situation where a defender tackles you in an awkward way that pins your foot under you as you're falling and their weight is on your leg. That's how you get a high ankle sprain, and that's almost always a freak injury on the football field that you can't predict. That's what makes it even more tilting, whereas McCaffrey, as Cody said, he had a calf injury at the end of last year. It was the most predictable thing I've ever heard. Like, oh, McCaffrey goes to IR with a strained calf, and I'm like, duh.
Yeah, the thing about Kupp, too, and what pissed me off so bad was it was in the Arizona game. And so that game had already gone to smithereens, right? But he came back in the game after he hurt himself. It's true. It's like,
I just, dude, this is why we do a show. This is why, man. You're a man of the people, man. You're a man of the people. I'm on my high horse, right? I'm on the high horse. And I'm on a very high horse, right? That's very well groomed and everything. And I'm riding like English, right? And you're riding Western, right? And your horse, your horse performs better. Your horse, you know.
I got a mule, man.
No, you can do the barrels. Like you can do the roping. You can do everything. And I'm pretty useless, but my horse is very tall. That's pretty much it. And then the smithereens, man. I just love that word. I haven't heard that word in years. And sometimes a word will just hit you in a certain way. I love it. Thank you.
Cooper Kupp's a horse, man. And so whenever he came back in the game after he was first injured, right? He hobbles off. I'm like, oh no. But he comes back in the game. And then it wasn't until halftime when they came back out from half. I'm like, you know, they say he's questionable to return and all this stuff. I was like, dude, if I'm like, he might come back because he came back in the game after the original injury. But no, man, they went in there. They're like, dude, he's so tough. He just wanted to go back out there. So I think he'll be back sooner than Puka Nacua.
Oh, yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back. Like, yeah. He's not going to be as explosive as he was. His whole season is now degraded because of this injury. He will not be quite the same player he would have been. It's just very tilting. But I can tell you right now, there is a Saquon Barkley team on a fast draft without Cooper Kupp, but with Malik Nabers, who it happens to be owned by one Alex Dunlap in the number one position. Alex Dunlap, dude, you're in the pole position. You are ranked number one on Fast Draft's Flex 4 contest with $10,000 to first.
No, all right, okay.
Yes, you didn't even know. Look, you're number one. You're number one. Look at this. Ja'Marr Chase, Saquon Barkley, Malik Nabers, Alvin Kamara, James Cook, Javonte Williams. That team. Now, let's not talk about Javonte Williams. I don't know how the hell that fly ended up in that ointment.
Can I talk about how FastDraft swindled me on this thing?
Okay, talk about how FastDraft swindled you. Swindled you out of, $5 that became $10,000? Yes, talk about the swindle.
How I swindled myself in the Fast Draft app. Can I say that?
Actually, before you get into that, we're going to talk about how Alex swindled himself on Fast Draft after we hear about Fast Draft. Oh, the NFL season is underway, and if you drafted on Fast Draft this summer, the Origins All-Rookie Game, the Flex 4 Game, check the live scoring, see where you are in the standings, you might be in line for a big payday. And no matter where you are in the world, you should have the Fast Draft app because there's a custom Dynasty Mock tool that's free to everybody with super sharp ADPs, and we're rolling out DFS tournaments throughout the year, and the 2025 tournaments will go live before any of us realize, oh my God, the 2025 season is upon us. Download Fast Draft, register, and you will be alerted as soon as these new contests are unleashed. Check it out on fastdraft.app. Nice tight little promotion there.
I love it, man. Dude, Fast Draft is awesome. It's super fun. I wanted to ask you just a little bit about it.
You're unaffiliated. You're with a totally different company. We collaborate, you and I. But this is not a paid promotion. You just happen to like the app. You happen to download it because I told you to download it. I was like, hey, you should download Fast Draft. You downloaded it, and
well, all right. So what happened is this. So if you guys haven't played on Fast Draft, and I can see if you're listening to this on Matt's channel, you know you probably played because he talked about it a lot. But it didn't get put out till closer to the end of the, you know, kind of the start of the season. So like with all the hype around the start of the season, I can understand how somebody might have, you know, missed the boat on getting on this app.
Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on various reasons.
That kind of poking you in the ribs a little bit, Matt.
No. This is why we're doing this show. This show, Content Kings, is so that we can have a venue where we can talk about the challenges, the frustrations, right? Mm. Where sometimes I'll do a show and it seems like a big party, and you do a show and, you know, you're used to being a band, and the way that you present on Sirius XM in particular, this is Roster Watch. It's just so good. It's just so fun to listen to. And yet there are lots of challenges that are happening behind the scenes, and we're going to surface those things and talk about them live and on the podcast and everywhere where we have media. So, yes, it should have been launched. It was planned to launch in March, got pushed back to May, got pushed back to July, which then got pushed into August. And we are going to get into all the reasons how that happened, you know, in either this show, future shows. So you ended up getting your hands on it in August at a time when you were just crushed with responsibilities. And yet you somehow found a way, because these drafts only take 5 minutes, to put together a few teams.
Yeah, or put together a bunch of teams, man. But Yeah, and I do want to ask you about like the timing of it and stuff, but and we'll get back to that. But just as far as the stupid Javonte Williams swindle, okay. So what happened was you basically in those drafts in the pick fours, you get to pick six players, and they could be of any position. And like Matt said, it goes really fast. And what I wanted to do was I was like, well, I want to get in, like 20 more teams or something like this, right? And I didn't want to have to sit there and just do 20 in a row. So Fast Draft gives you the option to where you can just take you can preload your rankings, and then when a room fills, it'll stick you in that room, and it'll basically auto draft for you, but it won't off of their rankings. It'll auto draft through the rankings that you've already preset, right?
Yeah, it places you in draft rooms seamlessly, instantly, as soon as they open. And then it will just draft based on your rankings so that you don't have to even be present while the draft is happening. But you did, set all your preferences in advance.
Yes, yes. And then at the end, it sends you an email that says, all right, here's how your drafts went and here's your exposures, et cetera. It's a pretty cool feature. But the something happened where I somehow got Javonte Williams into like sixth round consideration. For the one where I forgot if it was like 30 inch, it was more than 20. It was basically like the majority. I don't know how many entries I have in this contest. You could probably look it up, probably 40 or 50. But it's like, it was like the majority of them, right? It's like 30 of my entries were using this set of rankings. And somehow something happened where it's like some ghost in the machine just didn't allow me to say, why do I have Javonte Williams here in this spot and not even another guy?
What do you mean ghost in the machine? What are you talking about?
Well, I don't want to.
What ghost in the machine? It's Javonte Williams. It wasn't like we had a different name and then we changed the name to someone else.
I'm trying to blame it on anybody but myself here.
There was no ghost in the machine. I just want to make sure people know. You can't say with a fantasy gaming app that, that with all these compliance rules around it, there's any ghosts in the machine. There's no ghosts in the machine. There's no problems with the system. You set your rankings, and for whatever reason, you put Javonte Williams into your top 60. Now, in fairness, I want to actually defend you here, because in Flex 4, there's no quarterbacks, and all the scoring is smoothed out across all positions. So there's no extra bonuses for tight ends. It's a consistent scoring format, and you can have six running backs, which is what you did. You basically drafted four of your players out of six were running backs. So you went running back heavy. And most of the teams, because the NFL as a macro trend is leaning more on the running game this year, most of the top teams on Flex 4 as of right now went running back heavy. So your overall strategy was correct. It's just the individual tactics that you chose, which running backs you were going to push up into the top 60, you happen to choose wrongly. You happen to put Javonte Williams over some other running backs like a Brian Robinson, who would have been a better choice. The guys to put it to juice up into that, let's say slot 50-ish, rank 50-ish, would have been an Aaron Jones, would have been a Ramondre Stevenson, would have been Tony Pollard. I mean, there's a whole long list of these league-winning running backs from the dead zone that you could have pushed up. The tragedy is you had so many different choices, and you did. You pushed up James Cook and Kamara, so that was good. But you had so many other choices for that last spot at running back, because you did the right thing by going running back. It's just you picked the stone worst potential point scorer in Javonte Williams. That was a flaw in your own ranking system. It wasn't a flaw in anything else.
I know. It's just like, but you know how this goes, man. Whenever you get down there to the very end, like you get speed blind sometimes. You know what I mean? You're just like, you can overlook things. And I just like, I don't know what it was in my mind. Like I wish I would have gotten like, I'm looking at my exposures right now, and I wish I would have got more like, just some of these dudes that were a little bit farther down in the queue that nobody's going to have. And that's like, if I would have had Jameson Williams, I have him in all of my season long leagues, right? If I would have been able to get him up to that kind of sixth pick consideration,
that would have been a little bit of a reach. Let me explain. So because there's no tight end premium and there's no dedicated tight end position, all the running backs and receivers get moved up on fast draft in the flex four contest. So a guy like Aaron Jones, you weren't guaranteed to get him in the sixth round. I'm trying to defend you here.
Yeah.
Right. You weren't guaranteed to get some of these sexier dead zone backs in round six. They get vacuumed up because a lot of the savvy drafters were staying away from tight ends. Right. And they were even staying away from some of these, you know, lower ceiling wide receiver options like a Deontay Johnson. Although now with Adam Thielen out and with Andy Dalton in, now Deontay Johnson, suddenly his ceiling becomes uncapped.
He's cheap in DFS this week too. Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Everybody wants to start Deontay Johnson. It's Deontay Johnson and George Pickens week. That's what it is this week. Because we also have the Andy Dalton revenge game. That's my favorite. That's my favorite narrative, is the Andy Dalton revenge game. Andy Dalton facing the Bengals is one of my favorite things, because I always associate him with the Bengals because they have orange uniforms and he has orange hair.
Yeah. I was, as I was going through and looking at rankings, I can't think of them exactly off the top of my head right now, but there's some other revenge happening this weekend.
What else?
I wish I could remember exactly what it was. But they're like, maybe through the show, or I don't know if there's a chat that you can see. I'll bet you some of these chat guys are like, of course it's this.
I forgot how unprepared you are for shows.
Oh, dude.
I forgot. I mean, I've done so many shows with you. We've done so many. You know what? You haven't had me on Sirius XM in forever.
Amari Cooper revenge.
Amari Cooper revenge game. There it is.
There's more revenge than just Amari Cooper. And I just got that one just by taking one look at the ranking sheet. So I'll come up with more revenge through the show. But I'll bet you, if you can see the chat, they probably know some of these.
This is a great revenge week. I love Andy. I think Andy Dalton's a strong start this week. He's my favorite streamer of the week.
Your favorite stream? Yeah. I mean, it's hard to think of a better. Yeah, I think Matt, if you actually if you watch that game, I just don't know if this means it's like Bryce Young is just bad and broken and just everything, or whether it's just like, if maybe Dave Canales, all he needs is somebody who is a professional, seasoned quarterback that can simply just do the things that he asks and be able to get that out of him, right? I don't know if Andy Dalton's going to – the clock's going to strike midnight and he turns back into a pumpkin like Ryan Fitzpatrick had done in previous years and stuff like this.
Is this another red hair joke?
No, I didn't even think it, but Ryan Fitzpatrick has kind of red hair, doesn't he?
Yeah, you're talking about people with literally red/orange hair turning into pumpkins.
It's true.
That's the one level of discrimination you don't hear a lot about when you hear about, like, let's make up for historical wrongs of discrimination. I don't think we've gotten to the place where the gingers are rising up and demanding, you know, wrongs be righted yet.
Aaron Jones revenge.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know Tide has been upgraded to provide an even better clean and cold water? Tide is specifically designed to fight any stain you throw at it, even in cold. Butter? Yep. Chocolate ice cream? Sure thing. Barbecue sauce? Tide's got you covered. You don't need to use warm water. Additionally, Tide Pods let you confidently fight tough stains with new ColdZyme technology. Just remember, if it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.
We got a ton of revenge this week.
Aaron Jones has been good. Hey, man, we're not talking about anything on the show sheet, by the way. Hey, just one other non-show sheet.
No, I have Cooper Kupp on the show sheet.
Okay, one other show sheet. One other non-show sheet question. Are we going to get Tyler Huntley this weekend? Is that going to help us out with all our Tyreek Hill swindles?
That would be great. I just want to say one thing about Bryce Young. Bryce Young, his best comparable on-player profiler is Johnny Manziel. And always has been. And I'm very proud of that. That's one of the things I'm most proud of in the history of player profiler. If I, you know, had to, you know, sit down and go through my proudest moments as a papa. 10 years, 2014, we started player profiler. And I have a big article that I've written that's basically recapping, you know, how we got here with player profiler, where we're going with Fast Draft and Player Profiler synergizing in the future. And it's like a 2,000 word, 3,000 word piece that we're going to be posting on Player Profiler on Sunday. I gave a sneak peek to everyone on patreon.com/podfather. I published it there first. It's like a sort of shortened version. We're going to put it on our Substack for our newsletter subscribers. And I'm gonna put on LinkedIn, all these things. I finally sat down and people have asked me to do this. And I'm like, this is so pukey. I can't stand it. I can't stand reading these pieces from when other founders, you know, it's just a bunch of, you know, self-congratulatory buzzwords. I was like, if I can do this without sounding too self-congratulatory and too buzzwordy, I'll do it. And I had like 10 people read it. And every time I'm like, if you even have any instinct that this is pukey, look at me, I'm not publishing it. And then 10 out of 10 people, including Billy Muzio and others, said, this is good, publish it. So I'm very insecure about these kinds of pieces when they get out there in the world, because I don't want to be that guy. Bryce Young is Johnny Manziel, right? He's well-behaved Johnny Manziel. But let's not forget, because now I have to become a Bryce Young apologist, because I thought that, you know, it made no sense to draft him at the 101. The trade up made no sense. It was the totality of bad decision making, and that anyone in that Carolina front office is still employed in sports is an embarrassment. But he did have 47 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions with a 67% completion percentage and close to 5,000 passing yards in college. And then he went out and he ran like a 4.6. So he is athletic. So if you told me this guy's passing for 6,000 yards with an incredible TD to interception ratio and he's fast, I would cape up for that guy had he not gone with the 101 over CJ Stroud, in which the team that drafted him traded a bunch of other first round picks, overpaid, including throwing in DJ Moore.
It was one of the most brutal trades, though. And
I know, that's the thing. You can't unsee the trade. You can't unsee the trade that led to Bryce Young becoming an NFL player.
It's the Deshaun Watson contract of trades. It's like you look at it and you're like, how could anybody have let that happen? Right?
They did, though.
Unbelievable, man. Zach Ertz revenge. Zach Ertz revenge.
That's fantastic. How do you not love Zach Ertz revenge?
I'm just trying to think, man. I told you there's a lot of revenge this week. It's a lot of vengeful hearts, man. Vengeful minds and hearts.
See, that's the thing. What's the benefits, just so you know, not that I'm not saying that next month when we do the show, you have to be super prepared and have notes, but it's better for the audience, because I know you care about the audience deeply as a bass player, right? As a former bass player, you care about this. If you just had the list and you could just list it off, rat-a-tat-tat, that would have been a really tight segment. Instead of me filibustering and then you looking it up for 5 minutes and then having one name and then me filibustering and then you with one more name, right? So, you know, the drip, drip, drip of the names isn't as good as rat-a-tat-tat.
When is Fast Draft launching again for next season? Or wait, can you get an in-season game going?
We have an in-season game that is currently being built as we speak. In fact, before this show, after this show, I have meetings about Fast Draft's DFS games. So the Flex 4 concept is going to become weekly, and then we're also going to have a Flex 4 cash game where you just pick 6 players, and you're in a league with 10 other people, and the top 3 triple up, and that's it.
Love it.
Very simple. Very simple. We're going to stick with the $5 games. Eventually, we're going to have a $25 game for people that want higher stakes. So we I like the $5.25, maybe some $10 games, but $5.25, you know, everybody loves the $5 games, but then there's this whole other segment of people that really like the $25 games. They like the little bit more high stakes. They don't really get interested until the money gets a little bit more stakey, right? Mm. So I understand that. I understand that fully. So we want to have games for everybody, including, it's very important to me that we have a defense game. So a Flex 4 defense, the defense version of Flex 4, the IDP community is not necessarily growing fast.
It's small.
It's small, but it's very passionate. And what I care most about are people that love Fast Draft, not people that like it. So if I can just get a handful of people that love it, that's more powerful in this age, in this interconnected age. It's more powerful to have one person that loves your app than 10 people that just enjoy it casually. So I'm trying to find the people that could be most passionate. And it's not a lot of work for us to roll out a defense game, because if you think about it, let's say that the player stats that we're licensing from a place like Fantasy Data, SDIO, Sports Data IO. So we get the live scoring from that service. Well, we all get both sides of the box score. It's just that the gaming sites and even the fantasy sports information sites barely use the other side of the data feed, the defensive side.
Well, because it takes so much work from
it's not that much extra work. It actually isn't. There's no additional cost. So put it this way. There's no additional cost. So it's all free data that we're already getting, all the defensive stats. It's just most people are throwing those things away, right? It's like, I'm going to eat the banana and I'm going to throw away the peel. Well, if you can find a way to use the peel, then that's a much better, more efficient use of resources. So right there, we're trying to have more efficient use of resources. And it just so happens that the people that eat peels, I mean, there are some people that have you ever eaten a banana peel?
No, but didn't Will Levis do it? You can also use it like in case your neighbor is too close behind you, man. You could throw it out the back of your truck and slip them up like kind of like Mario Kart. I mean, there's a million things you can do with these banana peels.
Oh, yeah. Can you name more things to do with banana peels? Go ahead.
Yeah. So you can take them and let's say you have like an infestation in your backyard of spider monkeys. You can take the banana peels and put a little net over your pool and take all the banana peels and put them on top of the net. And that way the spider monkeys, they just go on top of the pool, try to get a banana peel, fall into the pool and drown. That's another way to use them. I mean, I could think of a million ways.
Do you have another one?
Sure. You could go into your neighbor's house. You can go into his house, fill up his closet with banana peels. You could call him up and say, "Yo, man, you might want to check your closet." You go up in there, open it, a bunch of banana peels fall out.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Dude, you're using banana peels in so many creative ways that are hilarious and also just super sociopathic.
Right.
As you're murdering monkeys. I think that's really smart stuff. It's really, really smart stuff. And we're gonna check in with you, I think, every month with new uses for banana peels.
Like, I just think with the developers, I know you have Frank. And so for him, it's like, it's easier for you just to call him up and say, "Hey dude, can you find a way to do this?" For me personally, as I'm in charge of the content on our site, I would love to be able to have that defensive stuff. And we're just like you, we get the stats from the different providers. And to be honest, it's something I haven't even really thought about, just because the one time we've tried IDP, it just didn't get much traction.
Oh, trust me, everybody has told me, who is a luminary in the space, you know, someone who's been in the industry many years. I meet him at the FSGA. I say, "Hey, we might roll out a defense game," and they strongly recommend against it.
Okay.
But then you have a lot of people that are not luminaries, that are just, you know, content creators in the space, who've intersected with a lot of these IDP guys along the way. And they're like, "Well, that's interesting, because I think these people are really passionate and they would really appreciate a game very much. And it's not like they're not going to play the other games you have. This would just be the game that gets them in the door and gets them talking on their forums and in their communities, on their Discords and on their Reddits. And that's something that I'm interested in. I'm interested in creating passionate users." That's how Player Profiler got started. I mean, Player Profiler was started through word of mouth. When you look at our statistics, we're not actually scoring that well on Google. So something that happened yesterday was Malik Nabers' stats was trending at like 3 p.m. because so many people were on Prize Picks and everyone's just looking for the over-unders and, you know, as if you're not going to start them in fantasy football, you know, props and all these things. So let me go look up Malik Nabers' stats. He was trending on Google. And, you know, I typed it in, Malik Nabers' stats on Google, and we showed up on page 2. And to me, that's very depressing, because I know that what Google is trying to do is find the best, most relevant content for someone who's searching and surface it to them at the top.
Yeah.
And that they don't understand that Google, like the smartest company when it comes to finding relevant search results, I mean, I think we can all agree Google's the best at that, so much so that they've become a de facto monopoly. Now, that they can't figure out, and we can't show Google the information that they would need to figure it out, that we are the best site. So if someone was to search for Malik Nabers' stats, if they landed on Player Profile, that would be the absolute best case scenario for their search. The fact that we're falling to page 2, it breaks my heart, because it also shows that we're not doing enough to signal to Google that we should be prioritized, because that's in the best interest of Google's customers. And then this sends me on a whole quest to try to improve the search engine optimization. And now one of the problems with that is, when you go to Player Profiler, the fact that it looks so clean and it's easy to navigate once you're on it and it looks modern, some of those aspects work against the search engine optimization. Where if we could just pack the top of the Malik Nabers player page with lots of text and lots of stats configured in a certain way, it would look gross.
Yeah.
But Google would be able to read it better.
Yeah.
And we would rank higher. So that's the trade-off, is because we want the experience to be a certain way, we can't rank as high on Google. And therefore, a lot of our traffic, a shocking amount of our traffic, does not come from search. It comes from direct links, which means people are bookmarking Player Profiler and they're going to it directly. They're typing it into the browser directly, which is one of the metrics that I take the most pride in, is the direct traffic that we command, as opposed to most sites. It's 95% search and social and some other things, you know, after that. Whereas ours is so skewed to direct, it's a testament, I think, to the content itself.
Yeah, well, I will say this, man. If you were to type, if the trending search would have been, you know, you wouldn't have had to do a Google AdSense buy on a trending search for Malik Nabers' profile. You'd have been the top one.
Oh, we're top with Malik Nabers' profile, but people more often search for Malik Nabers' stats. So, you know, maybe if I could go back in time 10 years ago, we would have called it playerstats.com. Whatever. We didn't. We called it Player Profiler. I like Player Profiler better. It has a nice ring to it. It's a cool logo. We're going to stick with it. Can I ask you what to do? So we've talked about what we're going to do with Christian McCaffrey, and in some leagues, he is droppable. Because even when he comes back, he's not going to be Christian McCaffrey. That's the thing, right? It's heartbreaking that when Cooper Kupp comes back, he's not going to be full Cooper Kupp. He's not going to be at full capacity. Neither will Christian McCaffrey. So even once he comes back, if he comes back with, you know, you're going to be starting him in situations where he's going to underwhelm. So what are you really gaining by holding on to him? Most people, though, because there just aren't many great fringe options out there on the waiver wire or even, you know, down your roster, it's not going to make sense to drop him. You'd have to be in a really shallow league.
And you can't do it before we get better reporting on this. Like I would wait, just, you know, I would cool off, wait until Sunday morning, because you know that this is going to be something that Rap Sheet has on Sunday morning before the games. He's going to give an update on this and a more firm timeline. And if it turns out this is maybe only 6 weeks or something like that, of course you can't drop him. But, you know, we're getting in now to, I mean, dude, we're gonna start next week to have like buys and stuff. You know, we're getting into the season here.
You have to drop some receiver, right? That's the thing. Most fantasy gamers, they hold too many receivers on their bench. So rather than dropping Christian McCaffrey, my advice would be find a receiver and drop him. I mean, there's a handful of double-digit round receivers that have paid off, like a Khalil Shakir, like I told you.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams, as you mentioned. There's a few that you're not going to drop, but most of the other guys are probably droppable. Keon Coleman, you can let him go.
I think that's right. I think, would you drop Shahid after his goose egg?
No, Rashid Shahid is another hit. So wait, that's three hits. There's a few big hits. There's a few big hits in double-digit rounds. There's probably five. There's probably another couple guys. Let us know in the chat. That's off the top of our head. I'm sure there's some more double-digit round hits. But most of the receivers you're drafting.
What about your boy Quentin Johnston?
Well, I would drop him because there's no way he's going to repeat two touchdowns a game moving forward.
Yeah.
He has an unsustainable touchdown rate. The targets are not there. He has shown himself through a full season last year to not be good at football. And I'm team Ladd McConkey, and it's a low volume offense with a quarterback who's less than 100%. I'm just not interested in receivers on the Chargers not named Ladd McConkey, and I don't fall for the random two touchdown game banana peel in the tailpipe.
Yeah, man. That's another way to use a banana peel. Go to your neighbor's house, stick it in his tailpipe.
That's right. Well, it's nice. It's better if there's a whole banana inside it.
Yeah.
Bananas are always better. We should say this for the record, for the history books, just in case, you know, when the aliens dig up this show, because this is going to be a priority for them, is that we do believe, Alex and I fundamentally believe, bananas are much better with the banana inside. Just the peel is not great. It's not great, but there is some appeal to the peel.
Yep. It's about the same level of appeal as IDP has to me.
You were talking about spider monkeys and you're in Texas. And so what happens in Texas is spider monkeys get out from these high fence ranches,
the various exotic ranches around here in the hill country. Yeah.
and they become like an infestation. I just got my hair cut, and my barber the entire time was ranting against the squirrels.
Oh.
Like in Connecticut, if you want to get someone to just talk for 5 to 10 minutes, ask anyone that has a fruit bearing trees or a garden, ask them about squirrels. Just say, hey, what do you think about squirrels? They want a squirrel holocaust, these people. That's what they want.
Do you know what's so interesting about squirrel? It's that there's not like different pieces of squirrel meat. It's all just squirrel meat.
No, I don't know. I don't have any idea.
All right. So like, let's say you're eating chicken, right? It's like the wing tastes different than the drumstick or the thigh or the breast or anything like that. If you're eating if you're skinning a deer, you know that like the hams are different from the shoulders or different from the back straps or different from the flank meat, right? It's different from the neck meat, all this stuff. It's different cuts. Right. When you eat a squirrel, it's all just squirrel meat. It all tastes just the same. It's just squirrel meat. You ever had a squirrel pot pie?
I've never had squirrel ever.
Okay. Well, geez.
I know. I haven't lived. I have not eaten a banana peel and I have not eaten squirrel.
Squirrel's good, man. Squirrel's good.
I'm fucking up.
Have you ever eaten turtle? Like a turtle soup?
Maybe. No, probably not. I like turtles too. Turtles are pretty cute. Not snapping turtles. Snapping turtles, very dangerous. Underrated dangerous snapping turtles. But, you know, box turtle, cute stuff. Question for you.
Yep.
The tragedy of Trevor Lawrence. Okay, because whenever I think about Justin Herbert, I think of, okay, this is a guy, this is a golden boy quarterback who actually delivered at least one season, had one big, you know, season where he showed, okay, this guy's for real, right? Whereas Trevor Lawrence always finishing as QB13 and now regressing. And so what is your overall opinion of Trevor Lawrence? What do you think is the reason why he could not evolve, develop to be a top quarterback in the league? He seems to have the perfect frame, 6'6", 220, the arm strength, the mobility. See, on Player Profiler, he's best comparable to Peyton Manning. He even has the Peyton Manning face. Like, he looks like, you know, if Peyton Manning wearing a wig could be Trevor Lawrence. But yet he's very, very bad this year. 6.3 yards per attempt. 53% completion percentage. He less than 12 fantasy points per game. And, you know, it's hurting Christian Kirk. It's hurting a lot of players, right? On fast draft, had you drafted Christian Kirk, a lot of people drafted Christian Kirk like in round 6, because of just this overall suppression of wide receiver fantasy points this year, that's a great example of, hey, you're better off going with an Aaron Jones over a Christian Kirk. You know, in round after round, especially on a format like fast draft, where you can just pick the player who's going to score the most fantasy points in every round. But you know Trevor Lawrence, right? You cover college football. You remember when he was at Clemson. What the hell, man?
Oh, well, okay. So, I mean, he's had challenges with his coaching. And as you and I have discussed offline, I think Doug Peterson stinks. I think the game has passed by the Doug Petersons and the Frank Reichs and the Philly special kind of era guys. You know what I mean? I do not think that this is a great quarterback's coach. And look, here's the fact of the matter. They have given him a contract that is one where it's just like, it doesn't matter whether he's good. I mean, you're stuck with him. You're going to have him, right? They need what they're going to need to do after because Doug Peterson's getting fired. If this doesn't get turned around very, very, very quickly, he's getting fired. But they've done some kind of idiotic things with the contracts that they gave to the giant wide receiver contracts from a couple years ago.
The Zay Jones contract, et cetera.
Zay Jones, the Christian Kirk, all this stuff like that. It was like they tried to surround him with talent and they misallocated their resources in surrounding him with talent. They've let him go from they've let him astray as far as the coaches that they've paired him with the offensive principles and philosophies that they're trying to instill. And what it's turned into through the course of this year, now we'll see what happens versus Houston this week, because despite having some really good DB, you know, what I think, I mean, I think that Derek Stingley and Kwame Lassiter and Jalen Petre and these guys are good, but our matchup tool shows this as being a top eight matchup for opposing quarterbacks. And that could have to do a little bit with game environment and, you know, total and stuff like that. And I know the matchup tool also takes into consideration projected game script. So this could be something where it's like, dude, these guys are going to get wrecked. And so Trevor Lawrence might have to throw a bunch down the stretch of the game. But, dude, man, just look at his
– if that's true, you'd still rather play Andy Dalton this week, right?
Oh, yeah. Andy Dalton, it's the week of revenge.
I'm so excited to play Dalton this week. I can't even tell you. With Lawrence, I also think that you can talk about all the other external forces and factors. There's also the simple truth that he just might not be that good, just like Bryce Young might not be that good. Bryce Young and Trevor Lawrence had similar numbers in college, and yet they just don't fire. There is something about processing information and decision-making at the professional level that is so difficult and complex for a quarterback in that position, which is the reason why they make hundreds of millions of dollars. And if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, you're looking at, okay, we just committed hundreds of millions of dollars to Trevor Lawrence, and he's below average. He's going to be outperformed by Andy Dalton. That is another misallocation of resources. That contract did not feel right to me. That contract felt like, okay, we know that we just need to do this because we're over a barrel, and this is as much for PR and the fact that the fans believe in him, even if he hasn't delivered actual elite performances.
Trevor Bank Stadium.
We can't go into next year without him under contract. It's just going to be too difficult politically for us. So when it's half public relations, that's almost always a bad decision for the organization. You need to have some spine and some fortitude to make decisions that are going to be unpopular with your fan base because you have the information that they don't have. I can guarantee you there are people inside the Jacksonville organization that have known that Trevor Lawrence is mid, will always be mid, and he is just a mid-level quarterback. And it makes me infinitely happy to have these dichotomies. I love player dichotomies. To see on one coast, Brock Purdy, the last pick in the draft at a similar time and place to the first pick in the draft. And for one to exceed all expectations and to be in the MVP conversation and to be a Super Bowl contender and to be everything that everyone assumed Trevor Lawrence would be, but from the guy with the, you know, average build, the average hair, the average look.
He looks like your dentist.
Accountant, lawyer, whatever.
He looks like one of these guys that works at the insurance company. Like, what are those people, like an actuary?
It is white collar worker X. That is what he looks like. And it's amazing that he would be able to just outshine in every way a guy that was his peer, but supposedly everything that he wasn't, right? As a prospect. And now it's completely flipped. Now it's just like the yin and the yang have flipped. Now it's you're everything, I'm not, and I'm the one that's elite. I'm the one that deserves the hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm the one going to the Super Bowl. I'm the one delivering the ball on time in difficult clutch situations, and you're not. And that's amazing to me. That is one of the reasons why, after 10 years of doing this, I still love this sport. It's these situations that make me just so happy that we get to cover this sport. Other sports, to me, are more predictable, whereas you just never know what's going to happen coming out of college. One guy goes off in one vector and becomes an MVP out of obscurity, and another guy is a perpetual disappointment and leads to the perpetual sort of malaise of a franchise that just deserves to be stuck in a time capsule forever with their stupid logo and their just their stupid branding and the Jaguars and their ridiculous uniforms and just both of those two franchises. I remember, see, I'm old enough to remember when they were expansion franchises.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? You're turning our beloved sport into a cartoon, right? What is this? When I looked at the Panthers and the Jaguars, and I was like, I hope these teams never win anything. And then so when the Patriots beat the Panthers in the Super Bowl, I was extra happy because I was like, okay, I'm glad this XFL team got beat, right? I mean, this is just, and then so I'm like, everyone's like, well, eventually, you know, it's going to be nice to see the Jaguars finally win something. They deserve it. You know, they're poor fan base. What do you mean they're poor fan base? They barely deserve to have a team. Jacksonville? They should be thanking Khan every day.
You know he wants to move him to London.
That he somehow found a way to luck box that sorry city into a professional NFL team. My God, you should be lucky you're in the game. You're in the sport. Win a Super Bowl. Fuck out of here. Yeah. I appreciate it, right? I appreciate it. And it was like watching Hard Knocks with the Bears, right? And they would that montage at the beginning where they talk about like the history of the Bears, right? And then my daughter's like, wow, the Bears have been an amazing franchise like all along, huh? And I'm like, no. I'm like, this is propaganda. They're terrible. The Bears as a franchise have been largely awful and a laughingstock most of the time. Even when they went to a Super Bowl, it was like, this is a joke. Like Peyton Manning's going to run over these guys. They shouldn't be here. They don't deserve to be here. But even the Bears, that's a franchise I can get behind. If they got good, and they will get good, I believe, with Caleb Williams, that's a franchise I'm going to be excited about because they have the history, right? They just have a C on their black helmet, and that's it. That I like. Aesthetically, that's one of the other things I like about the NFL, the clean simplicity of the branding, especially of the classic franchises, the original franchises, the Steelers, the Cowboys. There's something from an aesthetic standpoint, like an artistic standpoint, that I love. And teams like the Panthers and the Jaguars offend those sensibilities.
It's why I always say, man, the Texas Longhorns, if they ever touch that jersey or ever do anything to that jersey, I'm going to riot in the streets, man. Like you can't do it. They're just, yeah. And I agree completely with what you said. And I also think to a certain degree, if you're just talking about the aesthetics of the jerseys and, you know, the teams that, you know, the iconic ones, it's like, guess what? Whenever the Raiders are gonna ever good again, it's just like, it's going to feel like a legitimate, like good team that's been good in their past and has a storied history and is iconic. And it has, and because it, even though we know.
And now they're playing in Vegas, a fake city. They're playing in a completely fraudulent fake city, literal smoke and mirrors. A city that was built literally on smoke and mirrors.
They're in the desert.
In the middle of the desert. It has fringe legitimacy to an NFL franchise and really is only there because of the entertainment value of the city, has made it a destination, which has made it a place where they could actually fill a stadium for an NFL game. And good for them. Good for them. I mean, think about it. If you're in some desert outpost and you can figure out a way to build up your city, your little town into a city, and then eventually get an NFL franchise, good for you. Whoever started Las Vegas, a Bugsy Siegel, I believe, and then whoever helped to grow it.
His mobs and stuff, right? He's like,
well, no, like McCarran Airport, whoever McCarran is. I'm sure McCarran had a lot to do with it. Good for these people and, you know, tip of the cap to them. They did a great job. The fact that the history, the aesthetic brand equity of the Raiders could somehow lend the type of legitimacy to the Las Vegas professional football team that everyone would probably be happy for them to win a Super Bowl. I think we would all celebrate it. I think just people that are fans of football, anytime it's the Raiders, we smile. It makes us happy.
Yeah, man, it's you can picture Berman when you're a kid talking about the Raiders, you know, and like, I mean, it's just, you know, it's Al Davis and his goofy son with puts the chili bowl on his head to cut his hair, and like it's the what's the song? It's the autumn wind, the song. It's like that they play in the background of all the, you know, like the autumn wind is a pirate, man. Like the autumn wind is a raider. And like you can hear it in your mind whenever they're playing old NFL clips. And outside the stadium, they have the flame that never goes out that's supposed to represent Al and just all this stuff. Like, yeah, dude, the league's better whenever the Raiders are good. Unfortunately, the Raiders stink and Zamir White is dust, man. Just dusted. What a bad pick he was.